Hey guys, if you don't know who I am, but welcome to Truth Communist Morning. I'm Mike. I'm the drummer. I'm usually behind the drums. And it's quite a different situation when you're out there and you're listening to the worship songs and you're joining in and beating on the drums during the gathering. So yeah, it was quite awesome. Thank you so much, guys. Praise God. I could hear everybody worshiping around and lifting up the name of Jesus. So Pastor Keith and Amy and the kids are on vacation this week. They haven't taken a vacation for a year and a half, and that's about how long we have been here. So keep them in prayer. Safe trip back. Excuse me a second. I got a little thing going on there, a couple of frogs. So keep them in prayer. They'll be back Monday night. And as Ashley said, we have some great things coming up going into Easter week. So, but I'm here, and thank you. I got the awesome, humble privilege of bringing forth the Word of God this morning. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in a situation where you wanted to just, with a snap of your finger, crush somebody? Or just crush something, right? What would that thing be? Okay, so let me tell you what took place with me when I was a little guy. Okay, and I'm still a little guy here, but when I was a little guy, like little Nate running around, okay? All right. When I first started going to school, and it probably was around, it wasn't kindergarten, so it was like second grade, all right? I started getting picked on. I started getting bullied. And it was a couple, as growing up, there were a couple of guys, I remember clearly, Butch. He was the first, and he was on the bus. Anybody have a Butch, right? Yeah. Second one was Ciro, C-I-R-O. And the third one, everybody knows somebody by the name of Dave. And these guys were relentless, man. They were just picking on me, beating on me, and making fun of me. Why? Because I was different. What was different about Mike? Well, he was a little smaller than everybody else. But back in the day, he had this crazy hair. See, my wife's laughing. She knows because that's how long we've been together. I had an afro. And it was crazy, you know. And I would get made fun of. Everybody had straight hair, but my hair was curly. It was an afro. And I get made fun of. And then second thing I have, if you haven't noticed, is the nose. Okay? And I get made fun of for that. It was called everything from the Horn of Africa, the banana nose. And I guess if you look back, you were bullied on. It was being bullied. And how could I handle it? All right? It was tough. Guys would like to come behind me and mess up my hair and say, hey, you look like the Garfunkel in Simon. Okay? So these are things I dealt with, bullied. And what could I do? I couldn't fight back. I wasn't a fighter. I was strong. I was small. These guys are big, right? I got to the point where I was just too old to tell my dad, so my dad's going to handle it, and then they're going to make fun of me more. So, man, but if I could have, with the snap of a finger, I wish I could have just crushed these guys and got rid of them. Gone. Be gone. All right? So you think it ended in the transitioning to adulthood? Does it end? No, it doesn't end. So what happens now? I mean, I'm going to be 62 in August. Life moves on, right? It moves on. But does all that kind of stuff get out of the way? Hey, look, I drive, 72 miles each way. All right, I'm in the HOV lane riding the Prius, and somebody cuts me off. What do I want to do? Crush him with the snap of a finger. Get out of my way. I got to get to work, right? Amen, brother, right? All right? Or what if you have, there you go. What if you have a barking dog? Your neighbor's dog is barking, never stops. Do you want to get out there and shoot that dog sometimes? All right? Maybe never, because you have dogs and you like it. But there may be some people. But what if you have what if you're a contractor, right? And you got a job and the guy didn't pay you on the job. Would you like to crush that person right away? Hey, where's my money? You owe me money. You beat me out of money. Or somebody that has a nasty word for you, or somebody that curses you, somebody that puts you down. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a relative. Somebody you know. Maybe somebody you don't know. You went to a gas station, and you got online, and somebody just started screaming at you because they thought they were there ahead of you, and they thought you cut them off. You want to take advantage, right, and say, hey, look, I just want to get them out of the way. So crushing never really ends. The last 2 weeks in our life, Cheryl and I, we've been very, very stressful. Probably one of the most stressful times in our life. We have sold a home, tried to downsize to a smaller home, And we found out, and some of you guys helped me. Thank you so much for helping. We crammed everything into this house. We threw away stuff. We sold stuff. But our basement is just packed. The sheds are packed. We're just packed out. It's been very stressful. Then we had to sell the home. And then we got to the sale date. We thought it was going to be April 18th. Well, but the buyers wanted April, between Easter and Palm Sunday today and Easter. And we said, no way. We can't do that. Our attorney's out of town. Tom's out of town. If you're going to try to call him, he's not. We use the same attorney. So, so my attorney goes, well, what about moving it up to April 6th? April 6th, we're not done yet. We got three sheds that are packed. We got an 8x16-foot storage tote pod that's packed out. You know, we got a hot tub that hasn't been moved that we want to move, and the garage is full. Well, what if we made a concession? Okay, but this is stressful. Would you give them to the 18th? To get your stuff out, and you close on the 6th. And they agreed, and we did. But it was very stressful through the whole process. If I could have crushed, okay, maybe crushed the buyer a little bit and said, why did you do this? Or maybe crushed the real estate agent and say, why did you put all these pressures on me? And they're just mounting on me. And it was very difficult. It caused stress in the family. Was I perfect through all this? No, I wasn't. I lost my cool a few times. I did. So let's see where that takes us. But I knew where to go. Can anyone relate to what I'm saying? Have you had situations like that? All right. So what does crushing the enemy look like if I wanted to snap my finger? You know, we look at competition as the enemy, right? Maybe my favorite team, when the Yankees in the ninth inning want to win, who do they bring in? Sandman starts playing, right? And Mariano Rivera comes in, okay? Politics. Politicians making good promises about beating the enemy, the opponent, they call them, right? Maybe a business product. You want to outsell your competitor. So you want to get rid of the competitor. Military, what do we talk about? Crushing the enemy, defeating the enemy. Today we have a lot of technology that can do that. We have drones and all sorts of radar and capabilities where we can take care of the enemy. We can crush that enemy. What about a personal enemy? Do we have a personal enemy? Why are we here today? Just take a moment to think. What personal enemies do I have? Maybe it is someone, as I said, a best friend, a relative, that puts you down, curses you. Maybe it's somebody that cuts you off driving, or the neighbor, or the dog. Makes you want to fight back, right? And think about ways that you can crush your enemy. But what if the real enemy is not any of these things that I spoke about, or maybe the ones you picked out in your head? Maybe it's not any of that. What if it's unseen? Well, then how do I crush it? Right? And if it's unseen, how do I deal with it? How do I move on? What do I do? How do I get through life? And I spoke to somebody the other day, and he said to me, you know, my currency is not money. It's not things. I'm like, what is he talking about? He said, my currency is time. And how I allot my time. And to some of us, what does that mean? So let's look at what the real enemy is. Let's continue on our journey past Pastor Keith's talk towards the cross, see the real enemy and how he can be crushed. Okay? So the title of our talk this morning is The Skull-Crushing King. I don't think that's something we would expect on a Sunday morning. Out of the box! The Skull-Crushing King. Can we all stand up? Let's do some public reading like we normally do. And we're going to go to Psalm 110, Song of David, and we're going to read 5 through 7 together. We ready? The Lord is at your right hand. He will crush kings on the day of his wrath. He will judge the nations, heaping up the dead and crushing rulers of the whole earth. He will drink from a brook along the way, and so he will lift his head high. All right, you may be seated. Thank you for the reading of the word. What did we just read? When I look at this thing, I was a little confused. What is this saying? To me, it sounds like a superhero movie. Sounds like Captain America, one of the Marvel heroes, right? Iron Man. And I hear Wonder Woman's coming out soon. Yeah? Right? It sounds like that, right? Talking about the hero conquering the villain, rescuing the innocent from what? Destruction, from being crushed. So what's the Bible talking about here? Who is it talking about? Let's take a look at the Old Testament and see what this says. This is a psalm, a song of David, Psalm 110. It's called imprecatory. Imprecatory could also mean a battle cry, a go-get-em cheer, or as we did this morning yesterday, a rah-rah cheer. That's what this psalm is. When you have some time, go back and read the whole thing in context, the beginning part. The song was sung for and to celebrate a triumphant king. And when they sang it, it empowered his people. As Saul, okay, as he defeated thousands in battle, King David defeated Goliath, the Philistines defeated 10,000s, right? Well, King Solomon, the wise ruler, winning military victories. The Jews knew firsthand, okay, what it was to get together, sing Psalm 110, okay, and just celebrate with their king. But it was not only the king that they saw face to face during their lifetime. They knew this song talked about another king, a better king. It was a prophetic song. It talked about a future king. And if we look back through the Bible, we see that the Jews themselves were what? Persecuted. They were in subjection. They're always in bondage, going all the way back to Moses in Egypt. And they were always looking for a better king to come. So who's the Bible talking about here? What king is it talking about? And I said the Jews knew through history that some king is going to come. All right? He's going to be their savior, also known as the Messiah. They waited hundreds of years before this psalm was written and after this psalm was written for that king to what? Come and crush their enemy. So when Jesus came into Jerusalem that day, what did they think? That day was Palm Sunday. The first Palm Sunday that we're celebrating today took place 2,000 years ago. They expected a king on a white horse, right? That was the king that they had looked at through history. There's a king coming. Is this the Messiah? White horse is going to come in. The king is going to come in. We're laying palm branches down. They're celebrating. This is it. Why? What was going on with the Hebrews at that time, the Jews at that time? They were in persecution and bondage to who? The Romans, Roman Empire. You think they wanted to crush somebody? They'd love to crush the Romans, but they knew not even at the snap of a finger, the Romans would just defeat them, put them down. They were in subject. So they figured, here's Jesus. He's the king. He's the Messiah. This is what the Word of God back from Genesis through now was talking about. He's going to put down the enemy. They put palms down. What did palms symbolize? A final victory. And then what happened? Jesus comes in on a donkey. A donkey symbolizes peace, not victory. It symbolizes peace. They're expecting, and I was talking to Sylvan this morning, they're expecting a battle horse to come in, just like the Romans had, and a knight in shining armor to defeat the enemy, to crush the king. Imagine the hatred they had in their hearts, what they harbored, the anger, the bitterness and resentment that was there in their heart from being under submission for not only the Romans, but through their lineage, their families, to different nations, countries, and kings throughout history. This was their time, right back to Egypt. They figured they now were going to be freed. But this is no different than us today. Nothing at all. We see subjection throughout the world. We see people ruling over people, kings. We see countries. We see groups of people bullying. We see it going on here in America. We see it. No different. So whether you believe it or not, or you're hoping that Jesus will crush your enemy, just like the Jews did then, we still expect now Jesus is going to crush our enemies, right? But what if that enemy we're focusing on is the wrong target? We don't have our sights in on the target. We're looking at the wrong target. We're looking out. What are we really looking at? And who is and what is the true enemy in this battle? All right? Well, we do have a hope today. I'm standing right in front of that hope. Okay? We have a hope today. Jesus did ride into Jerusalem on a donkey a week before Easter, right? Resurrection Day. As the skull-crushing king to crush our enemy. He did. So at this time, we're going to take a look. Let's go back, as I said, to Genesis. And let's take a look at Adam and Eve in the garden and see who the enemy is and look at Genesis 3:15.
put it up there. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between the offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. What are we talking about here? Sounds similar to 110, doesn't it? Psalm 110. This is the promise that God gave us. Okay, after Adam and Eve in the garden had the encounter with Satan, the serpent, they were lied to, they followed the lie, right? And there was sin. God made a promise in the garden, made a promise to all mankind that he would send a savior that would crush the enemy once and for all mankind. But in that process of crushing the enemy, crushing the head of the serpent, he would be bruised. His heel would be bruised. Well, what does that mean? The bruising of the heel is symbolic of Jesus dying on the cross. Him being beaten and bruised and tortured and dying on the cross for us. Again, the hope. I'm standing right in front of here. So, why should you consider Jesus if you haven't already? Or maybe you know Jesus and saying, why should I reconsider Jesus? So I'm going to suggest to you that the enemy that needs to be crushed and defeated is within. And let's look at what Jesus offers as the king, the skull-crushing king. How can you hone your sights on the real target? Because if you don't, what's going to happen? You're going to cause some damage, friendly fire, and even death. And if you don't kill somebody else in the process, you're going to kill yourself. Things are not going to change unless you target the real enemy. And again, the real enemy is S-I-N, sin. That's the enemy. That's what God gave that promise back in Genesis, that he's going to send the Savior. So let's look at Jesus, the skull-crushing king, and what he can do for us, okay? Psalm 110 talks about protection at your right hand. Jesus is our protection. He's at the right hand of the Father, and we are right there with him, right? By dying on the cross, what did he do? He took our guilt, our shame, our bitterness, our resentment, our hatred, our anger, all those people that we want to reach out and crush, okay, and the feelings that happened there, he took that upon himself. And he offers to God the Father once and for all sacrifice, once and for all. No other king has to fill in and take the place. It's just him. That's it. He does it once and for all. He crushes the enemy within sin, and he unconditionally loves us. I was listening to Johnny sing today and Devin on the guitar, and the words were in every song. It was there. Jesus unconditionally loves us. He accepts us for just who we are. Who we are. And what does he ask in return? Only one request. That we, each of us, love and accept him as our king and our savior. That we would let him crush the enemies in the fights and the struggles that we have. Because we can't defeat him, but we know he can. But you may turn around and say, you may say to yourself, but can't I just ignore my enemy? And if I did, will it go away? I see some people shaking their heads. Okay? So what came to my mind when I asked that question was, if I never put oil in my Prius is part electric and part gas engine, right? If I never put oil in that thing, what's going to happen to the gas engine? Some of you mechanical people out there? Seize up and burn out. Okay, got to put some oil in that engine. So if you let it go and ignore your enemy, it's going to come back and get you, right? All right, then you might say to yourself, well, what if, you know, I can't identify my enemy, but what if I can and I try to crush him myself? What would happen then? I don't need Jesus, you might say. I don't need him. Right? Yeah, that's okay. You can try. We have that privilege. We have that right. We can try to do this in our own selves. But how can you know and how can you trust that the results that you have are going to always be satisfactory and positive? Can you guarantee that? Do you have the ability to defeat death? Ooh, when you find somebody who does, let me know. I don't think so. But I know somebody who did. I know somebody who did. Jesus Christ. Amen. You can clap your hands, brother. That's cool. Yep. So let's see what King Jesus can do to be a skull-crushing king, all right? How would life look, okay, if crushing the enemy, okay, if you allowed Jesus to do it and not do it yourself? You would have the ability for a life application of change of what? Self-control, peace, joy, love, patience, everything that goes with it. But it's a life application. All by simply believing, trusting, accepting, and allowing Jesus to be your what? Skull-crushing king. I think that's pretty awesome. I think that is awesome. George, when we did this thing here, put this together, Pastor and I put this together, I thought about you. I thought about you. I said, George is going to love this word, skull-crushing king. Amen. All right. And it was pretty cool. All right. And how do you do this? You do this by building a relationship with Jesus Christ. How? By reading his word, worshiping like we did this morning. That was awesome. Praying. Pray directly to God. Go to Jesus right there. In the name of Jesus. Fellowship with other Christians. Come to church. Come to Truth Community. Plug into a church. Church family. All right? And get that relationship going with Christ. Get it going. Continue to follow this message through, folks, next week. And make sure you invite some people back. Because this is Palm Sunday. We know what takes place next week, but some don't. Or some may have heard it, but they're still looking outside and not looking inside. What's that enemy? Okay? So let's explore next week and see what Easter is all about and what Jesus did for us on Easter. Imagine if we all took this to heart, Psalm 110, Genesis 3:15. What would everything look like? Would you be able to manage your life better? Your schedules, your activities, your contractors, the people that you might deal with in hospitals or on the job, your family, friends, whatever. You would have a healthier relationship, right? Yeah? I think so. And I can't tell you I don't think so because I've been doing this for 30-something years. I know so. And I know when I make a mistake, I know when I fall down, that when I go back to Jesus, that skull-crushing thing, he takes care of it for me, and I can get back up on my feet, okay, and I can move forward, and I know he's right there with me. We can also join together with others and make our community look better like we did when? Last year at Hope Day? And again, June 3rd, Hope Day this year, right? We can transform our communities. So this is what happens when we come together. We listen to God's word and we follow it. All right. I'm going to close out now. I'm going to get ready to close out. But I want to go back and I want to remind you of that verse 7 in Psalm 110. What does it say? It says, he will drink from a brook along the way, and so he will lift his head high. When I read that, and I'm looking at the scripture and I'm studying it, I'm saying, that's Jesus. After the battle, right, he's there drinking from a fresh brook, right, and he's holding his head high because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, right? And he got that fresh drink of water. That's what the hope we have. That's what we have to look forward to. And we are joint heirs of the throne. So we share in that. Hallelujah. That fresh drink. That is pretty awesome. So I want you to think of Jesus as the thirst-quenching, victorious, skull-crushing king. Now, we're going to do something out of the box this morning. We're not going to give palms out. We're going to give something to you to remember Palm Sunday and remember Jesus, the skull-crushing king. We're going to give you a can on your way out of Orange Crush. A little different. You can drink it, make it, put it in a freezer, get it real cold, and just like the brook, take a good thirst. You might want to hold it till that time comes that you need it and say, you know what, Lord, thank you for that victory and give him the glory. Or just put it on your shelf somewhere just to remember. Or take a picture of it so it's on your phone. Jesus, the skull-crushing king, crushing sin in my life, in my heart. Okay? Praise God. Now, if we can have the worship team come on back up.